fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and want to complete a theme we've had all week long talking about St. Paul's conversion and certain dynamics that flow from Paul's encounter with Jesus, things that we can harvest for our own lives, and we can remember who we are, the spiritual battle that we're in, the commission that we've been given in Christ by virtue of our baptism and our confirmation, to be able to see with the eyes of Jesus, really, because in the conversion of St. Paul, and for some reason, this conversion, which I'd read many times in my life a few years ago, just grabbed my attention in a way it never did before. It was another moment for me of remembering what the church has taught us so much about the Word of God, that the Bible, there's no book like it. This Bible is breathed by God. This is the breath of God is in the words of the Scripture. It's God speaking to us with great power. Remember, I've said this various times over the years here, Pope Benedict XVI's line that he said, I think it was in 2005, way back then, he said it was his conviction that he believed that the secret to a new spiritual springtime for Christianity, that is that, think about the spring and things budding forth and fertile soil and life emerging, right, from the cold of winter. We're living in a kind of cold winter in parts of the church today where faith is in decline and hearts are kind of cold in relationship to God in many ways. And he's saying the secret to a new spiritual springtime, he believed, was the daily reading of the Word of God. And then he went on to remind us that Jesus is living in every page of this Bible from beginning to end, and he's speaking directly to our hearts, and God's Word has power to penetrate through darkened minds and hardened hearts if we open ourselves to it. And so I happened to be reading the conversion of Paul, and it was like a light went on, just looking at the words and reading the lines, the words of Jesus to Paul, which I've talked about quite a bit this week. The heart of Jesus' commissions to Paul was to reach the Gentile world. The non-Jewish world was his primary mission field, but that he, in going forth with the gospel, he was engaging in spiritual combat, spiritual warfare, that the essence, the very heart of evangelization, of spreading the good news, is a power encounter between light and darkness, between the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. That's exactly what Jesus said. He says, I'm sending you to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. By grace you have been saved through faith. It's that radical yes to God, to the revelation that God gives us of himself in Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not die but would have everlasting life. God has come for us to give us life. He sent his son to give us life. And the way we access life is through faith, saying yes to God and repenting of our sins, that is turning away from the worldview we thought ought to be center in our lives, or placing ourselves, our own interests, insisting that we're our own masters, moving away from that orientation of heart, mind, and will, and turning toward God in a posture of humility and obedience and surrender, which those words, as I mentioned earlier this week, just drives the modern world crazy. Humility, obedience, surrender? It sounds like slavery. It sounds like I'm losing my freedom. It sounds like it's going to ruin my fun. I don't want that. I want to do what I want to do. I want to design for myself a life that looks fun to me. It looks like something I want to get up in the morning to get after. But I'm certainly not going to find it in a relationship with somebody where I need to be obedient, subservient to them. And right at the heart of Paul's call, Jesus says, I've called you to serve me. The call to discipleship, to becoming a Christian, a follower of Jesus is not easy. It has nothing to do with slavery in the sense of, it may ruin some of your fun, because some of my fun, things that I used to really value, were not only a waste of time, but some were really offensive to God. But when we say yes to Jesus, and we become his servant, we make him the priority in our lives, we come into an entirely new kind of freedom, because Jesus isn't competing with us. He's not alien. He's not somebody we have to defend ourselves against, lest he take away from us all the stuff we think is going to make us happy. He literally has come to lead us into fulfillment and to interior peace and joy and full integrity and harmony to reach the very thing for which we've been made. That's who he is. He's about freedom. And we drink in the lie that the world feeds us that, look, if you want to be free, you need to be in absolute control. You have to be the master of your own life. You have to be the master in such a way that you create yourself, that you design the meaning of your life. You're somehow starting from scratch in your own mind, and you can't be human and you can't be free unless you're the total designer of your life. And so design and purpose and identity in our minds today originates from within me. I'm the maker of it. I'm the designer. We call that freedom. And it's everywhere in our culture, absolutely everywhere. And that's a lie. It's an absolute lie. And even if we like it, it's a form of slavery. It's a form of slavery because we set ourselves against God. That's insanity. That's crazy. Because if we die in opposition to God, God's going to give us what we want. If I insist on being my master, and I'm going to design my own truth, and I'm going to shape my own morality, I'm going to decide, for example, that premarital sex is fine. If I like the person, it's my call. It's my shot. I can do whatever I want. Like the women who were, my heart broke, the women who were at the march a number of weeks ago, the day after the inauguration. I have no problem with people marching and opposing political things they disagree with. I don't have any problem with that. But did you see how many signs were held up, actually many very vulgar signs, about female anatomy, and the focus was on the right to kill babies in the womb? Thousands and thousands of those women were declaring that their liberty, their liberation, their freedom from alienation and diminishment, and their capacity to be everything they want to be is tied directly to the capacity and the freedom to be able to take the life of a human being within them. Think about that. Where do you think that comes from? We read yesterday what the recent popes have reminded us and what's in Scripture. The devil is the father of lies. Jesus said he's a murderer. He's a liar. And he's been that way from the beginning. And he's deceiving, and he darkens our minds. So Jesus said to Paul, I want to empower you to lead people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. And if you believe that killing an innocent human being, the most vulnerable, is the ticket to assuring freedom and advancement in society, you're in darkness. But look what we call it. Liberty, freedom, right to choose. It's all there. And we boast about it, protect it, fight for it, declare it to others, try to spread it like it's a gospel. It is a false gospel. It's one of the tenets of the doctrines of demons. It's what it is. Am I saying that every woman who's ever had an abortion and every man who's connived with her to get it done is somehow consciously following the devil? No, absolutely not. But they're deceived. And the recent popes have reminded us of the power of the devil to do that very deception. And it's that darkness that leads to slavery. And people say, no, I'm free. Well, no, you're not. You're free if you think the world is the way it is. We're here by accident. It's all matter in motion. There's no purpose. There's no design. There's no me ultimate meaning. There is no God. And we're here, and all we have is our freedom to make of our existence whatever we want to make. And so if I decide that this baby inside me is just a mass of tissue, then that's what it is, because I've decided it. It's my body. I'm the sovereign over my body. I'm the Lord over my body, and no one's going to tell me what to do with it. And part of that determination, friends, part of that aggressive defensiveness about that, it's rooted in believing a lie that I can't be free. I'm going to be left behind. I'm going to never reach my potential. I will ultimately always be subject to men and other things if I don't have the freedom to take my child's life. Friends, that is diabolical at its core. It's a lie. We have to sniff it out. Smell the lie. But if you're in that darkness, Jesus said it clearly. Sometimes we can be in darkness so deep in things that the darkness itself is our light, and we boast of it as if it's true, as if it's some kind of true light. And it's worth fighting for and rioting for and marching for and spending tons of money on all that. That's just one area of life. We are in a spiritual battle, friends. And Paul was commissioned and sent forth to preach Christ, who will shed his light if we tell the world of the good news of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will use us. We'll be a conduit of his grace. Not because we're perfect, but because Christ is in us. We of all people should know. A true Christian is one who knows without any doubt that he or she is not perfect. I'm a follower of Jesus because I needed to be saved, that I needed to have my sins forgiven, and I still need to have my sins forgiven, and that I can't enter into the freedom that I see in Jesus without his power, because it's a whole lot better than the freedom I thought I had that I designed for myself. I know that deception. I know the enemy's lies. I know how potent and how powerful, how deceiving it is. But when the light of Christ comes, when the love of God, the mercy of God, the tenderness of God, the awesome holiness of God is revealed, wow, that's an entirely new reality, and it changes the whole paradigm. And all of a sudden, my stinking thinking, what I thought was so great, suddenly the light is shown, and I realize my responsibility, what I've done to create and to accept and to shape my life along the contours of these lies. And I've shaped my character, my mind, and my identity, and things have come out of my mouth and my behavior that correspond to these lies and not to the light that's within Jesus. So today, friends, choose today to say, Jesus, I want to walk in your light, enlighten the darkness of my heart, as St. Francis always prayed, so I can be all that you've called me to be. God bless you, friends. Have a great weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words.
St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.